Hello, everybody. I'm Mark.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome back to another episode of Made by History. We have another cracking Tuesday 10 for you. This is week three. I hope you're ready. I hope you've been enjoying the past few episodes. We've got a number of real interesting countries coming up for you. We see the support from new listeners, and we thank you. So Matt, would you like to give a brief intro for those who don't know what's going on with what Tuesday 10 is, and then you can dive right in.
Yeah, sounds good. So Tuesday 10, every week the original idea is that every week we would do 10 minutes, so a minute each on 10 countries every week, and we just give fun facts, profile the country, just expanding our worldview. We did notice it's hard to keep each country, which every country, big or small, is so full of history. So we can let it run from like a minute to a minute and 30 seconds. And we've noticed the great support from all across the world. Especially, I'm just going to shout out Hong Kong specifically has spiked in viewership. So Hong Kong definitely will be coming soon in a future episode. Also, I would like to apologize this episode for any mispronunciations or anything that we butcher. We are two white male teens in New Jersey, so it's bound to happen, but we do try our best. And we've got some good countries this week, Greece, South Korea, to name a few. And Mark, do you want to start us off with your first country?
Oh, I get to start? Okay, yeah. So, my first country today is one that I hope we can scoop a couple of listeners from. I think that would be very fun. I'll be starting my timer in a second here, see if I can crack that minute. Suriname. So let me start my timer here and let's dive right in. So the capital of Suriname is Paramaribo. It's a small country in northeastern South America. Its neighbors are Brazil, French Guiana, and Guyana, or French Guiana and Guyana. Some history of Suriname. Suriname has been inhabited by indigenous Arawak, Carib, and Wayana people since the 4th millennium BC. The Dutch arrived in the 16th century and established full control by the 17th century. The colony, like many others in the Americas, served as a base for large plantations, farming sugarcane and other cash crops, and they were all fueled by slave labor coming from Africa. And that was until 1863, when slavery was abolished in Suriname. And the Dutch quickly replaced their slave labor with indentured servants from Dutch colonies in Asia. So very slick, Netherlands. Suriname became independent in 1975 and still maintains close ties with the Netherlands. In recent years, there have been a number of coups and even a civil war in the late 1980s. However, the strife within the country has largely diminished. I'm over a minute, but whatever. Some fun facts. Roughly half the country's population lives in Paramaribo. People drive on the left side of the road, and Suriname and Guyana are the only South American countries that do this. And Suriname is the only non-European country that has Dutch as the most spoken language. Suriname Tongo is also spoken, and it's a native-like combination with English and some other native languages. So that's Suriname for you. In a minute 30. Just under a minute 30.
Well, of course, every country is going to have a lot of information. So there are some nice facts. I'm going to start us off with our next country. It's a big one, or I guess a history-filled one, Greece. The capital of Greece is Athens, and it's a smallish nation located in the southeastern part of Europe. Its neighbors are Turkey, Bulgaria, North Macedonia, Albania, and Cyprus. Its official language is Greek, and its official currency is the euro. Athens is the oldest capital in Europe. It's about 3,500 years old, just short. And Greece is also one of the most mountainous countries in Europe, and 80% of the country is mountainous. There's Mount Olympus, which is very well known in a lot of Greek mythology, as well as Parnassus, Taygetos, and Pelion. I know I'm butchering so many of those, but I'm going to keep moving. Greece has more archaeological sites and museums than any country in the world, which is amazing considering how small it is in accordance to the rest of the world. The famous saying, they're like a proverb, taking the bull by the horns, comes from the Greek myth of Hercules saving Crete from a raging bull by seizing its horns. And Greece is also home to over 5,000 islands, including Crete and Aegean.
Very cool. Yeah. So we got more islands coming up for you guys. Yeah. So segueing right into that is the Marshall Islands. Again, be so cool to have a Marshallese listener or two. Please bless us with your listenership. So yeah, the capital of the Marshall Islands, hold on, let me start my timer. Capital is Majuro. It's a small island nation spread over 29 coral atolls and 1,156 islands and islets. Some history of the Marshall Islands. They were first inhabited by Micronesian explorers in the second millennium BC. Ferdinand Magellan was the first European explorer to explore the Marshall Islands in the 1520s and was sailing for Spain and claimed it for Spain in 1592. Spain claimed the islands in 1592. It was first explored in the 1520s. European powers quickly recognized the sovereignty over the islands in 1874. A number of islands were sold by Spain to the German Empire in 1885, becoming part of German New Guinea until their invasion and occupation by Japan during the First World War. The islands were a battleground during World War II and became nuclear testing sites during the Cold War for the United States. The Marshall Islands formed an independent government in 1979. Some fun facts. The Marshall Islands is a parliamentary republic with an executive presidency in free association with the United States. That means that the U.S. provides defense, subsidies, and access to U.S.-based agencies such as the Federal Communications Commission and the U.S. Postal Service. The Marshall Islands has the largest portion of its territory made of water of any sovereign state on Earth at 97.87%. American whaling ships visited the islands in the 1800s. That was kind of like first contact for Americans and Marshallese people. And the Pope mediated the negotiations between Germany and Spain over the Marshall Islands. Yeah. So the timing will trip us up sometimes, but we'll just keep on moving.
Well, that's, again, Marshallese, if there's a Marshallese listener right now, that, again, we hope that someone from every country in the world does end up listening to this podcast. And if any of you know people from the Marshall Islands, send this to them. I hope it doesn't offend them, and I hope they find it interesting. We're going to go to another island, surprisingly, right now, Trinidad and Tobago. The capital of Trinidad and Tobago is Port of Spain. It's a small island nation made up of two islands located on the northern tip of South America. Its neighbors are Venezuela, Grenada, and Guyana. The world's largest natural deposit of asphalt is located in Trinidad, which is, again, strange considering how tiny it is. It's smaller than Rhode Island for people unaware. The Limbo Dance Contest, which I'm sure everyone listening has participated in, its origins are in Trinidad. Trinidad and Tobago hosts the world's oldest legally protected forest reserve. And Trinidad and Tobago, and I'm putting this in air quotes because I guess it is debatable, but is the most developed Caribbean nation. It has the third highest GDP per capita in the Americas and is thus recognized by World Bank as a high-income economy. In 2011, the country was removed from the OECD's list of developing nations and is considered a first world country. The petroleum industry, manufacturing sector, and tourism are important contributors to this nation's economy.
Very, very cool. Staying roughly in the same region here, in the Caribbean, we have the Dominican Republic up next. So the capital of the Dominican Republic is Santo Domingo. It's a small island nation in the Caribbean. Its neighbors are, well, it has one neighbor, Haiti, and it shares the island of Hispaniola with Haiti. The Taino natives lived on the island of Hispaniola and prospered long before the arrival of the Spanish, until Christopher Columbus landed on the island and explored it, claiming it for Spain. The Dominican people were at war for much of the 1800s, declaring independence in 1821. However, they were soon conquered by Haiti. The Dominican Republic became independent again in 1844, then endured numerous smaller conflicts, eventually defeating Spain for a second time in the 1860s. In the 20th century, American troops occupied the nation and dictators rose to power. The country has worked towards representative democracy since then and has experienced massive economic growth in the past 25 years. Some fun facts, Santo Domingo was the first permanent European settlement in the Americas. A quarter of the landmass of the Dominican Republic is national parks and wildlife reserves. And the Dominican Republic is the only country in the world with a Bible on its flag. One more fun fact. Armed forces personnel and members of the National Police Force cannot vote, which I found kind of interesting, probably because of the coups and you know, similar unrest and stuff. Maybe we can go more in depth sometime in the future about that. So take it away, Matt.
No, yeah, as you were saying, like, with that police law, a lot of it made me think of Rafael Trujillo and a lot of that, nonsense, I should say, a lot of that went on in the Dominican Republic in the latter 20th century. There's definitely an episode there. And if anyone hasn't read the book, In the Time of the Butterflies, which highlights that situation, definitely worth a read.
For sure, for sure. And yeah, I mean, you know, I took a jump from Columbus coming to Hispaniola to the 1800s. So there's a lot more history to go over in there. But yeah, lots of civil war, lots of conflict, really unfortunate. But the Dominican Republic is doing a lot better now and in recent years. So that's good.
No, yeah, most definitely. I'm going to move into my next country. It seems like we've got a big island theme going today because now I'm going to profile the Philippines. The capital of the Philippines is Manila. It's a small archipelago nation in the South China Sea. Its neighbors are China, Vietnam, Indonesia, Brunei, and Taiwan. The Philippines has approximately 7,500 islands, with only 2,000 of them inhabited, and nearly 5,000 still unnamed on global maps. There are about 175 languages spoken in the Philippines, with 171 of them considered living, while 4 tribal dialects have no known living speakers. The country's official languages are Filipino, which is based on Tagalog, and English, with Cebuano and Ilocano also popular in some regions. It's the 5th largest English-speaking nation in the world, behind US, India, Pakistan, and the UK. The Philippines is the top supplier of nurses in the world, with about 25% of all overseas nurses coming from the Philippines. And the Philippines suffered one of the largest volcanic eruptions in history on June 15th, 1991, when Mount Pinatubo erupted only a couple hours from Manila. The blast was so powerful that it shot 10 billion metric tons of magma and 20 million tons of toxic sulfur dioxide into the stratosphere, 25 miles high. What I don't think people realize is the difference between a million and a billion. 10 billion metric tons of magma going into the air is so much. It's very hard to imagine and wrap your head around.
That is a lot of hot rock. Sorry to kill the theme, the island theme, but our last country today is Colombia. So the capital of Colombia is, because I went first. The sequence is different. Second to last country, my bad. Second to last country today is Colombia. The capital is Bogota, Colombia. It is a large country in northwestern South America. Its neighbors are Brazil, Ecuador, Peru, Panama, and Venezuela. Colombia has been inhabited since at least 12,000 BCE and is home to many different native groups, including the, this is going to be not great. So my apologies in advance. Quimbaya, Tairona, and Muisca groups inhabit Colombia. The Spanish first landed in La Guajira in 1499 and colonized Colombia by the mid-16th century. Colombia gained independence in 1810 as the United Provinces of New Granada. The independent government changed multiple times until the Republic of Colombia was created in 1886. The country has since experienced a number of issues with drug trafficking and low-intensity guerrilla warfare throughout the 20th century and early 21st century. However, the situation has greatly improved since 2005. Colombia is a mega-diverse nation, one of very few, with the second highest level of biodiversity in the world. Panama seceded from Colombia in 1903. Colombia has the third largest economy in South America, and Colombia is the only South American country to have both a Caribbean and a Pacific coast. So yes, now we can go into the last country. Sorry,
It's all good, Mark. I would also like to point out that I have two countries and you still have Switzerland left to do, which I think you may have glossed over.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. What a fun editing nightmare this is going to be.
You know what? I think it's going to
be... I have a whole other page of notes. That's correct.
I think it's going to be even funnier when we leave this bit in, and if anyone is...
And don't edit.
If anyone is still listening and they hear us having this distinct conversation, you should go to the podcast and comment pineapple so we know you're a true listener and you listen to
comment. Yes, word. Comment.
Okay, and with that, I'm going to go into my second to last country of Benin. The capital of Benin is Porto Novo. It's a small coastal nation in West Africa. Its neighbors are Togo, Nigeria, Niger, and Burkina Faso. Benin was once called the Kingdom of Dahomey, which is my favorite fact of this week. It first acquired the name Benin in 1975. Unlike in most parts of the world, snakes in Benin are revered, particularly the royal pythons. There's a royal python palace where over 6,500 pythons live with two people. And I don't understand how they do it, but I think it's pretty cool. But pythons are the most common household pet in Benin. Again, terrifying. I'm not great with snakes, so clearly I wouldn't like Benin. Voodoo is practiced by 17% of the population and is recognized as an official religion. Because of superstitious voodoo, some communities believe that photography steals part of the soul. Despite being located in a turbulent region, Benin is among Africa's most stable democracies. Another fun fact, when leaving or entering a room, it's considered respectful to shake everyone's hand, regardless of age, gender. And another fun fact, the last one which I added in because it made me jealous, it's currently 90 degrees there, and that sounds really nice. It's currently 33 in Montclair, and I know 90 is hot, but it sounds a lot better than here.
Yeah, definitely prefer the 90 degree heat right now. Also, just taking your snake for a walk, that's awesome. I'm definitely a little jealous. Although, yeah, I don't think I could have a pet snake.
I mean, I will say, are you taking the snake for a walk, or is the snake taking you for a walk at that?
It depends on how big the snake is.
They're royal pythons, so you never really...
I think the royal python is, you're living in its house, and it's taking you for a walk. Yeah, you're right. Okay, so now the next country is going to be Switzerland. So the capital of Switzerland, this is a fun part. You'll see throughout this series, there's a couple of countries that are a little weird with their capitals. Switzerland's one of them. There's technically no capital. What? However, the parliament meets in Bern, so that's de facto the Swiss capital. It's a small country in central Western Europe, and it's kind of in a spot where it's like the convergence of Southern Europe, Western Europe, Northern Europe. It's kind of just right in the middle of things. Its neighbors, it's a landlocked nation bordering Liechtenstein, Austria, Germany, Italy, and France. And you'll see that reflected in some of the languages spoken in Switzerland. So Switzerland has an ancient history with human habitation beginning as far back as 150,000 years ago. The borders of the current Swiss nation were once home to Roman settlements, mostly along the Rhine River. Centuries later, the old Swiss Confederacy emerged in the late medieval period, though they were only recognized as independent from the Holy Roman Empire in 1648. For centuries, Switzerland has maintained a status of armed neutrality and has not fought an international war since 1815 and remained neutral in both world wars. Despite this neutrality, the Swiss are highly involved globally and in peace-building processes, and diplomatic endeavors. And they have a lot of involvement with the UN and many other international organizations. Some fun facts. Switzerland is home to a linguistically diverse population, mostly French and German speakers, though Italian and Romansh are also spoken. Switzerland is not a part of the European Union, which is kind of a surprising fact. Switzerland is renowned for its chocolate, but Ghana, one of the nation's main cocoa suppliers, is ceasing the sale of cocoa to Switzerland. Now, that is super recent news. That's in the past few days. So very, very interesting. We'll have more as the situation develops.
Yeah.
And last fun fact, Switzerland has the highest nominal wealth per adult and the eighth highest per capita GDP in the world. So good job, Switzerland.
The question is, after the yesterday's events of the no more cocoa supplying, will that nominal wealth stay? I mean, it probably will, but
I doubt it. I doubt it, honestly. The chocolate was their main thing. I mean, like, you know, the rest of the industries will all collapse. There's no more Switzerland after that.
Switzerland is, I think, the new name. Yeah. Okay, now on to the 10th and final country of today, South Korea. The capital of South Korea is Seoul. It's a small peninsular nation in the northeast corner of Asia. Its neighbors are North Korea, and then it's like semi-neighbors, like nearby neighbors, China, Japan, and Russia. So you just got a corner of influence there. Some fun facts. Children born in South Korea are considered 1 year old when they are born and will turn 2 on the next Lunar New Year. So technically, everyone born in South Korea is a year older than they actually are, according to Western customs. Teaching is one of the most prestigious and well-paying jobs in the country. And on average, teachers make $2,500 per month. That's US dollars. And there, that is a lot of money. And then this is public school teachers too, private schools and universities making more. It is law in South Korea that online banking and shopping must be done through Internet Explorer. That's very odd. It's also a very odd choice for a country that is so, it has the highest internet speeds of any country across the world. So I would be curious to see how mixing Internet Explorer and high internet speed works. And then the final fun fact of today's episode is that Taekwondo is the national sport of South Korea, and it's believed to have been invented approximately 2,000 years ago.
Very, very cool. Really disappointing that they couldn't use Google Chrome or like Firefox or anything. Come on.
It's just weird because they have the fastest Wi-Fi connection in the world and then the fastest internet speeds. And I'm just curious because in America, you just can't use Internet Explorer. Like it's.
Yeah. I mean, didn't they updated it recently or something, but it's like,
I thought they said they were going to stop updating it.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe, but weird choice. South Korean listeners, when you eventually start existing, please explain the actions of your government.
Yeah. I would also thank you for everyone to listening to this episode of Made by History. It would not be possible without some of our coworkers, John Freeman, Danny, Natasha, and Isabel. Thank you guys so much.
I like to think they're all helpful. You know. Oh, I like all of our coworkers.
I did mention all of our coworkers. Did I forget someone?
No, but you said some.
And I would also like to thank everyone who listens. You guys don't understand how much it helps the podcast if you listen at all, or even if you want to go the extra mile, subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Do that.
Follow the Instagram, follow the TikToks. We make some really funny TikToks.
We are so funny. Oh, my God. I mean, you know that from listening to us and how charismatic and funny we are on this. But, like, you just get these little tiny pieces, little slivers of hilarity every day from us and especially from the rest of the team. So, please.
If you've never seen a John Freeman TikTok, you haven't lived. And those are
weird. No, you haven't. That's a true fact.
We'd also like to, we're going to be posting on Instagram and TikTok all throughout the week, harassing you to listen to this episode.
Yes. Thank you if you made it all the way.
Yeah. If you made it all the way, we'll know because you'll comment pineapple on the latest podcast. Only the real fans know that one.
Yes. Yes. Find the Instagram. I think it's linked on Spotify, madebyhistory.pod, and comment on our most recent post, pineapple, or on any TikTok, pineapple.
Yes. And we just like to thank everyone who listens from everywhere across the world. We will be back next week with another Tuesday 10. And if you listen and you have something you want to hear us talk about, if you tell us, we will do it.
Let us know.
We have nothing but time to make these episodes. So please let us know. Thank you for listening and we will see you guys next week.
Thank you. Goodbye.